The current spoiler warning level is crimson.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of crimson. We're talking about stuff from Gundam Unicorn. You know the drill. Please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista NG. Do you know what today is, Dylan?
No.
That's right. It's April 30th.
No, it's not. No, it's November 8th.
Okay. Well, never mind.
Wait.
This isn't a great tie-in to Metal Gear Solid 2 after
all. Oh, god damn it. Okay. Right. Look, I don't remember the date. I need to play through Metal Gear Solid 2 again. It's been... I can actually see because I took a bunch of screen caps when I last played it all the way through. So, let's see. Solid 2. When did I play that? It was... November 12th, 2017. Yeah, it's been a while.
Do you know the thing about Solidus's swords?
Aren't they named? Oh, what the fuck are they named? I know their names.
They're the Minshuto and Kyowato, which is Japanese for Democrat and Republican.
Right, Democrat and Republican. So okay. Yes. That I was like, I know what their names are, but it's been a while. It's been 6 years almost. Actually, in 4 days, it will have been exactly 6 years since I last played it.
Wow.
Not including the fact that I opened it the other day to take a couple of screen caps because I was testing, I got Reshade working on PCSX2, so now I can have them look more analog, like the way I do with my PS1 screen caps that everyone seems to like. And so, yeah, I've been just doing it on everything, because I realized, right, it's really easy to install. I could just put it on everything that I expect to look this way. I can use it on my PS3 emulator because, to be fair, while the PS3 is an HD system, I actually went through my whole PS3's lifespan without an HD television and was still using my composite cables in my old CRT. And then I didn't actually get an HD television until my PS4.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are people I knew who didn't even know that the PS3 came with composite cables, and I'm like, I was sad. The only reason I even upgraded to an HD television is because the PS4 required HDMI and didn't have composite cables. And I was like, oh, okay.
You probably could have bought a box to downgrade it if you were dedicated to lifestyle.
Wasn't that dedicated. I just, look. I like, I had a nice CRT. I had a good television. It was a nicer one. Kind of wish I kept it, honestly. But whatever, it's fine. But yeah. Well. Dice.
Well, indeed. It's me, it sounded me picking up a bunch of dice at once, even though there's not much point to that because I only roll one at a time.
Just checking something real quick. Seeing if I took a picture of anything interesting. No, it's just a fucking gorgeous game.
Alright, roll a second die here. Oh, I didn't clear some of these off. Well, it's fine.
There are some of my screen caps just to send them your way. Since I brought them up.
Did we do this one?
What is it?
Yeah, we definitely did this one. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to roll again.
Okay.
Okay, AMS-129.
AMS-129.
This is a spoiler episode.
Ooh, AMS-129. That is okay. It's a spoiler one. If it's spoiler, that means it's Unicorn. If it's Unicorn and it's AMS, is it the Gear of Zulu?
It is the Gear of Zulu.
Okay. Yep. So I was going to say, the AMS-119 is the Ghirardotga. I do know that off the top of my head. And I was just like, well, if it's a spoiler and it's an AMS and it's above Ghirardotga, it must be the Ghirazulu. All right.
Indeed.
Cool. Give me 1 second. Let's open up or look up an article. Pull that up just for the sake of having its variants and whatnot. All right. Cool. Ghirazulu. The Ghirazulu is a mass production mobile suit used by the Sleeves in Gundam Unicorn. It is your standard, we are doing a gas-masked Zaku-like grunt. Probably the most military aesthetic-looking one of all of them, though, because this one just has, like, a helmet and a full-on gas mask and whatnot, more so than the Ghirardotga, more so than a Zaku.
Mm-hmm.
So, starting with the head, we have a mono-eye head, with a very unfortunately Stahlhelm-looking helmet. Under the mono-eye, one of the more interesting things is it has, like, these little, like, almost like teeth, that are, like, popped up a little.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it makes the mono-eye look very menacing because it's got these, 4 points that are pointing upward, you know, instead of it just being a black gap for the eye.
It's funny because I feel like the design of this makes you think this is going to be one of the shows that leans really hard on villainizing Zeon, and I don't think that's true.
No, that's the weird part, right? Like, they've made this thing look like the meanest possible Zaku, right? But also, mm-hmm. Unicorn is a land of contrasts. I'll say that much about it.
True. Sure.
And then for the mouthpiece, you have a cylindrical, like, again, very gas mask looking piece that has 2 cables coming out of it going into the cheeks. Nothing else really going on the head. The back of the head is very plain. The Stahlhelm look kind of has, like, a brim on it, over the forehead, which is a little weird, like, it, you know, goes forward a little bit above the mono eye. And you can
it does look like it's specifically there's added metal, which is a weird look.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, tends to have a shield icon painted on the side of the head, even on like the stock versions of it. Just a consistent decal that this is depicted with. It's like a very standard looking like shield painted on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Like medieval shield. But yeah, moving on to the torso, we have a popped collar that has some white embellishments along with a frontal chest piece, again more white embellishments, you know, for the sleeves. Obviously the fancier ones are on the sleeves, but it does have a bit of things going on there. The left and right side of the torso are like this gray color. It has 2 like hooks, or those would be like hooks, right? Handles. What word for thing that you connect a hook into, I guess.
They're like anchor points.
Yeah. That are just kind of like dangling on either side of the torso. Underneath on either side you have this like circular piece. I don't really know exactly. I'm assuming it's like a vernier. Just given the other design of the verniers on this. Like on the lower half of the pectoral where it starts to go back. Also have a bit of white armor on the front there too. Then for the main chest piece in the middle, below the black piece with the white embellishments, you've got a cockpit hatch that has a bit of armor. Once you hit around, it's got this like, it's got a bunch of vertical lines and like a circular kind of chest piece going around to the back. The pectorals are kind of like hanging around this, like there's a gap there, and you can tell that there's a gap because you can see the cables are kind of going under the armor there a bit. A cable going from like the midsection all the way around to the back on either side.
And then it feeds back in, which is a thing that the Zaku does not. So a lot of this is obviously a riff on the Zaku.
Yeah.
But the Zaku just has the 1 cable. It doesn't have a feed to the backpack and then back out of the backpack back into the waist again.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really weird. Yeah, because I'm like, now I'm tracking the cables, and it's like, yeah, these go up into the backpack, and then you've got another set. Yeah, it's weird. Moving on to the shoulders, we've got asymmetrical shoulder armor. On the right side, we have your classic L-shaped Tetris piece Zaku shoulder shield, and then for the left shoulder, we have the rounded armor. No spikes on it. It does have little bolt studs, though, that I'm assuming, because I know there are versions of the spikes, I'm assuming that maybe the spikes go on there. I can't remember. I'll have to look at the Royal Guard one. It's been a while since I've looked at the Gear Zulus, actually.
Let me see. It doesn't look like... I think those are... I'm looking at them side by side, and I think...
It looks like the spikes are attached on the circular point on the royal one.
They're attached via the circular point, but the circular point is not where the spikes go.
Oh, yeah, no, okay, I see, yes.
They bolt on.
Right, okay. And now that I'm looking, I see it. Okay.
But we'll talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah. You have a very round upper arm piece that's connecting into the torso that it is visible even with all the armor on. Then you've got an upper bicep, nothing too fancy on it other than you've got like a little, I think it's meant, is it meant to be a cable? I can't tell because it's a very low detail part. Let me look at the novel version and see how it's drawn. Okay. No, these are just little like tick marks. Okay. These are not, meant to be, well, depends on the art I'm looking at now, because you look at like some of the video game art that is around here, and it's like, looks a little fancier. But then you look at, like, the perfect file art, and it's just, like, a little, like, tick mark, you know? Like, like you can see in the perfect file art, it's just, like, a little yellow tick, but then, like, in this Gundam Online Wars game render, you can see it's got, like, depth there, like, it looks more separated. Interesting. What does it look like in GBO2? Hold on. How do they not have the GBO2 render on here? Give me one sec. I'm going to the GBO2 site. I bet GBO2 would have turned it into a cable. GBO2 loves making the details fancier. God, when did they add the Gear Zulu? I guess it was a while back now. Fuck. Feels like only yesterday that they added
It looks like it's a tick. It looks like it has like...
Oh, you probably just went to the GBO2 wiki, unlike me, who is looking through the GBO2 website in order.
I went to Reddit, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's just, yeah, okay. Anyway, just was seeing the thing with that, just because it was a little couple of different portrayals there. So yeah, it has like a little tick mark on the upper bicep. Very visible joint, very classic, like, you know, you've got the gray joint piece, and you've got the little round bits on the on either side of the elbow. For the forearm guard, you've got a little bit of a guard going back and protecting the back of the joint. It looks like it also has, again, just presuming given the design similarities, I'm presuming it's got three verniers on the arm, actually. Because you've got these three little white spots on the arm. On the lower of the part of the forearm. You've got more of those little tick marks that are kind of bolting together the front and back halves of the armor, since the forearm armor on the front of the wrist and the back of the arm is like two separate green pieces. You also have a radial cuff going around, though it is divided into three segments, I believe. Because you've got two smaller segments and then the one long segment with the sleeve.
Yeah, it looks like you're right. It looks like there's the smallest one is on top, like sort of like on the inside of your wrist, kind of, inside top. And the other two are bigger and wrap around to connect.
Yeah. And these have the little, you know, sleeves embellishments that are like the new Zeon symbols.
Right.
For the skirt, you've got a, speaking on like Zaku, you've got this very like a skirt style that isn't actually as common in Gundam anymore, right? Like where it is designed like an actual like skirt that wraps around all the way. Mm-hmm. You know, it still has the segmentation. You could see how, like, the two front skirts would move up and down. But the way that they're attached together and the way that they blend with the side skirt and the rear skirt, even though there are clear segments, it looks like a full wraparound skirt in the same way that, like, the original Zaku, as drawn by Okawara, has, like, a full wraparound skirt that doesn't really have, like, segments in quite the same way. Like as a modern suit tends to have.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the little lower crotch piece also, which, you can see it has, like, a little round bit with a handle on the front, and, you also have little, white verniers, two on the front side skirts, and then, two on the, rear side skirts. I say the front and the rear side because there's enough segments that they're actually, like, two sections of the front skirts, right? You've got, like, two front skirts that are, like, more flat. Then you have, like, the bits that the white parts and the cables are plugged into, which kind of are separate. And then if you look at the rear, you have another... It's not... I don't know if it's a clear dividing line, but, you know, it's just the way the skirts are segmented with the vertical lines is a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
For the upper thighs, you've got... pretty plain square upper thighs, for the most part. You've got these two little, ticks on the front that kind of match the ones on the upper arm. And you have two, outside attached thrusters that are kind of like, ooh, trying to think of which ones these remind me of. They kind of remind me of, like, if you scaled down the, high mobility Zaku, like, leg thrusters. Because if you look at the back of them, they even have those, like, the little, like, part... rounded part connecting into the leg that just kind of reminds me of, like, the R1 type ones, though obviously much smaller and less overall thrusters going on.
Mm-hmm.
Here, if I pull it up, it's funny though because it's specifically the back of the part that reminds me of it, because it's got that kind of, like, little cylindrical connection there, kind of like you can see there. Less cables though, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had more cables, but that's fine. It's supposed to look sleek. Cool that it has the thrusters on the upper thigh, actually. Just because it's not where you usually get them. You usually get them on the lower thigh, or on the lower calf. For the leg joint, you have a visible leg joint with the little round parts on the sides. You've got somewhat tall knees that have, like, a little vernier on the bottom of them. You also have, on either side of the knee, you have two cables going into from the upper part into the lower part of the leg there. Get these big wraparound ankle guards that are kind of... They're not actually located on the, like, attached to a part of the foot. They're attached to the bottom of the leg armor.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have an inner and outer thruster on either side. Then you've got, for the feet, kind of these, like, kind of an interesting tiered design on the feet, just because it has, like, one extra layer that you normally don't have, right? Normally you would have the color layer and then, like, the sole color. This one you've got, like, a green block, and then you have a bit of green armor wrapped around that, and then you have the black part for the bottom of the foot, and you also have a black heel. Just has, like, one extra layer that you usually don't expect. The heel also has, like, a little platform sticking out of the back, a little bit of extra heel.
Huh.
And then for the backpack, very simple backpack. It's the it's designed to look like a Zaku backpack, only it's got two thrusters on top and two small thrusters on the sides. But they're very integrated into the armor in such a way that they feel very, you know, not like your typical, like, feels like it's just trying to look like a very simple Zaku backpack, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Does kind of remind me of, with the Master Grade, I believe it's the Master Grade, oh, is it the Space Type or the Zaku 2S? Let me take a look real quick. Because, you know, the Master Grades of the Zakus tend to, add detail that wasn't originally always there. Which includes the backpack. Yes, it is the just the Space Type 1. The Space Type 1 does also add the thrusters on top. Those are not in the original show at all, but figured I'd shout it out. But yeah. So yeah, that's the base design of the Girazulu. So
yeah, the verniers being the verniers being on the thigh, I really like that touch to the design. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't know that I'm a huge fan of this thing. It's fine.
It's fine. I like some of the variants a little more. And we'll talk about it.
It feels very unambitious, and also, like a lot of unicorn things, the colors are so desaturated that it's kind of bland.
Many armaments possible for this friend to use is the thing. Yeah. Which is kind of a cool thing. It's because there's a lot of different... it's just got a lot of modular equipment, right? So, by default, you would say it has a... Like, in most depictions, it'll have the beam machine gun, and that's, what it has if you look at the novel art. Which almost looks... It's weird, because you have, the German look to things, right? But if you look at that... What is that beam rifle supposed to look like?
That's the Sturmgewehr 44. STG 44.
Oh, okay, so that one is also doing a German weapon, okay.
Oh, extremely.
Okay, I couldn't recognize whether that was a real weapon or not, is the thing. And I was like, well, it looks like a real weapon with a banana clip, but I don't know... Okay.
Yeah, this is one of the first assault rifles ever made.
Okay. Then it also has the Sturmfaust. So the Sturmfaust that it uses is not quite the one you would think, actually. It is, because usually you would assume it would be mounted in the shields because of, the Gira Doga doing that. It actually just has a fucking pull-out, Sturmfaust on a gun. You can see in the art here.
And it's, club style, because it's huge.
Mm-hmm. It's a big Sturmfaust.
You can see in the gallery, there's a shot of it, tackling a Rizel with it on its back. And you're like, that thing's fucking huge.
Yep. Does have two hand grenades, which, again, they definitely went for making them look German. They are, the hand grenades, with the big stick attached.
Mm-hmm. Steel hand grenade. Yep.
Then you've got the beam tomahawks, the beam tomahawk basically acts similar to the one on the, Girardoga. It doesn't have the pick mode, but it does have the axe mode with the beam saber on top, which is still cool. Then you've got, the shoulder shield, which... is, on the right arm. You can mount other Sturmfausts, just the plain ones, on the shoulder shield. You can also have a forearm-mounted shield, similar to the one on the Girardoga. Trying to see if they have art of that one in here. No. I don't think so. Nope. But, the problem is, again, you see a lot of different Girardogas with many different equipments is the problem. Which makes sense, because they want to... Unicorn has that weird thing where, on one hand, the sleeves are simultaneously undergunned and overgunned, right?
Right.
They, on one hand, they're trying to show you that, oh, look, they have to use, all these, other weapons. On the other hand, they have a lot of weapons. So it still feels like quite a bit.
There's on the wiki, there is a shot. The last one in the anime section of the gallery is one that is protecting the Garancheras.
Yes.
I think a beam Gatling gun. It doesn't it's not.
Oh no, that's a regular beam Gatling effects. Gun.
Okay,
as you can see, it's got a drum magazine and stuff.
Oh yeah, you're right. And then a double bazooka, and then it has the little old Zaku style triple leg missiles. It has four of them stacked on its shield, and then two more on each leg.
Yeah,
I didn't notice that at first.
Yeah, no, it's just amazing.
Drowning in weapons.
And then it also is using the double bazooka, which looks to be a modified version of some of the old art with the double Zaku bazooka. So, so that's fun. The beam rifle, I should note, sorry, I forgot to mention this, the beam machine gun, you can, so, it has a couple of different forms, that aren't all shown on the wiki. Give me one second, I can get pictures of these quite easily if I, load up the Unicorn, PS3 game, because That game has a lot of different versions of the machine gun. While I'm loading those up, I'll talk about one other weapon this can use. If you look at Gilboa Sant's custom one, besides having a forehead antenna, commander antenna, you can notice that he has the heavy weapon system, well, I should say an upgraded version of the heavy weapon system, pack from the, Yuridoga.
Mm-hmm. By the way, here is the STG-44. You can see it's really not subtle.
It's the Lange Bruno gun is the name of the weapon.
The Large Bruno.
No, Lange.
No, it actually is Lange? Wow, okay.
Yeah, Lange Bruno. Well, I can't load up the other thing. You know what? I think they released a model with the other versions of the armaments.
Oh, of course.
So give me one sec.
Well, that's probably a coincidence.
What is it?
I'm looking into Lange Bruno, and it is probably a coincidence that this is the name of a German soldier because he was during World War II, because he wasn't of a rank that anyone would know. He was a flight lieutenant. He wasn't a big deal.
Mm. Oh, but here we are. Sorry, I did find the model. So, yeah. I mentioned that it has the optional, it can have the optional grenade launcher. Other optional parts for it include an extended barrel.
Oh, Lange Bruno was the nickname of the railroad gun. Mm. One of the railroad guns that Germany produced. That's why that's like this. Okay, why does it have a PSG-1?
Is that what that is?
I guess it's another German gun, so I guess fair enough.
Yes.
Wrong era.
So this is a this is a version that has a radome and an extended barrel. It's supposed to be based on the same beam machine gun, but it's...
This is supposed to be a machine gun. Okay. All right.
Might be... Actually, let me see. Is that one actually a separate one? Because there's a lot of weapons here, so maybe... Ooh, large beam machine gun.
I'm not seeing anything that matches the description, but, you know, it's the wiki, so how much can you trust it?
Yeah, that's the problem. Well, just know that there is a long gun that has a long barrel and a sensor radome on it. Optionally, there's also a version of the normal beam rifle or beam machine gun with the radome. And, of course, you can throw the grenade launcher on the bottom of it. Other weapons it is seen using. So that Gatling gun, by the way, is, I believe, supposed to be based on just... I think that's just the Gatling shield, actually, now that I look at it. Because look at the arm. You can see the shield there. It's just the Goof Gatling shield.
It just looks like the Gatling is way too big for that, but, you know.
Yeah, but you can see if you look up the arm, you can see that there's a shield back there.
And yeah,
you
I guess
see
you're
the
right. They just sort of...
Yeah.
They've kind of choked up on the bat a little bit here.
Uh-huh.
No, actually, its hands are pretty far back. That thing that I thought was its... What is that thing? Okay. If you look at it, that image...
The belt?
Is that the... Oh, yeah, that is the belt.
It's the belt going from
weird.
The ammo drum to
I see. It's just... Its perspective is fucking me up here. It looked like a huge hand.
Ah.
I was like, oh, okay.
And then, yeah, we mentioned the double Zaka bazooka. At some point, it uses the Rikdom 2's giant bazooka, which is also used by the camphor and all that. At some point, we see it using a clay bazooka from the Rikdias. Gilboa Sants does have the four-barrel beam Gatling that I don't think he ever actually uses, but you can see it on the back of his, like, on the shield. It is mounted on the shield on his.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Yeah, I just don't think he ever actually uses it, which is funny. It's just funny because that beam Gatling, even though, like, fucking Neo Zeon, or, sorry, the sleeves have a whole bunch of those, the only thing we ever see using it is the Unicorn Gundam throughout the whole show. At some point, we see the Marusai and Hyzak beam rifle on it. The version that are taken... So I forgot to mention the Grand Sierra's use one. Those are the ones specifically for when they defect over to the Nahel Argama. and join up with that crew. They paint an orange stripe on the thighs as well as an orange. They paint orange over the little shields on the head.
Mm-hmm.
And those use the Jigen beam rifle. Let's see. Triple missile launcher. We already talked about that. What is this missile launch? I don't know what the YHI-GB-05R... Oh, wait, no, that's the giant bazooka. Hold on, I accidentally... Sorry. YHI-6ML-79MM missile launcher is. Is that the ground Gundam one? Hold on.
I think that's the... I don't know.
Yeah, it is the ground Gundam one. Huh. That's probably manga or something where it uses that.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, sure. Let's see, the large beam machine gun, which I'm thinking might be the one that I linked. Jigen D-type beam rifle. Oh, they also use beam sabers from the Jigen, which I guess makes sense.
I think the large beam machine gun, and this is an interesting thing I wanted to talk about, they don't list here as a pilot, and they don't have, but they have images in the gallery, and I don't remember Unicorn very well, right? Uh-huh. As far as, like, this sort of detail. They're not listing Angela Sopper's Girazulu. That's the beam machine gun, I think.
No.
Right there.
On the lower right, that's the beam shot rifle. That's actually on its own article. Because it's a guard's version that he has. That's why you're not seeing that version. It's a variant of the guard's type.
It's a variant of the guard's type, even though it has...
It has the guard's type shoulders.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, fair enough.
Yep.
I guess.
All right. So, we'll get to that, don't worry.
We'll hold off on that, yeah.
Yeah. Alright, and then it also uses the Jigen shield at one point. Okay, I think we got through most of the weapons. If we missed anything, whatever, no one cares.
I will note, on the guards type page, they still don't list this.
Yes, they do. Variant, Girazulu, Angelo Sopper use, and Elec custom. Do you not see those?
It has its own page. I didn't notice that.
desperate to be right about it.
Yes!
Sorry. Alright, well, we'll go to the guards types next, though, because they are easy to talk about. The guards types, these are, used by the Royal Guards. They are essentially slightly beefed up Girazulus. So, give me one second, just to open up for comparison. There's a couple of changes throughout the body, though.
Some of them are kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, firstly, we add more white lining to the collar and to the chest plate and also to the chest and the skirt in general. Another change is the shoulders. Instead of having the Zaku shoulder shield, it has two of those what were blunt shoulders, but with added spikes and also a bit of armor added on the outside of each, like an extra bit of armor bolted on. However,
I think the spikes look pretty good.
However, if you so desire as a Royal Guard, you can see a version that has these shields, uses the, right shoulder shield. So,
I mean, you also have got the folding style shields you can use.
Yeah. From the Giradoga.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, moving on down the body, though, besides the striping, some additional changes are the thigh thrusters now have extended armor on them, protecting the sides of the thruster.
Yeah, like more blast deflection, which is weird.
You add more lining to the knee, as well as the sides of the calves. And then finally, the other major change would be the backpack. This has a Girardoga backpack, which has the four thrusters located around it is six thrusters located around like a block in the middle, and then it's just two big propellant tanks, and then it has a camera on the top and bottom. So it just has the bigger backpack. So this is the guards type. It's used by Full Frontal's elite guards that report directly to him. They tend to not really have too many armament differences because, again, it's just they all use all kinds of guns. We'll get the unique armaments when we go to Angelo's in a second. I'll just move on to that. I already described this. So moving on to Angelo's, we have Angelo Sauper's Girazulu. He by default uses the Langebruno gun. Oh, I should note the Langebruno gun that they have is a beam version of it. It is a large beam gun instead of a large solid
boy
shell.
Is it ever. Have you played this thing in GBO2?
No, but I've experienced it.
You have to pull this, you have to pull the Langebruno separately. It doesn't come with the thing.
Yes.
Which is fucking annoying. But you equip that thing, and it is one of the, like, the long sustained style, like, drag the beam across the battlefield, Gurobi. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Two other unique weapons that Angelo uses. The one that you were thinking was possibly the large one is this gun here. This is a large beam shot rifle. It is basically an enlarged version of the Sazabi's beam shotgun.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's got a longer barrel, it's got a top-mounted grip and a back-mounted grip. I love the back trigger, actually. That kind of reminds me of the, the Zeku Ainz's beam smart gun, which also has, like, one of those grips that just comes
off
the back.
Sure, yes.
Rather than a normal one. Fun thing also, if you look at the tip, it actually has two different beam emitters. The top one, like the narrower one, is where it fires like a, it can fire like a long sustained like shotgun, or beam rifle shot. And then the bottom one is where it shotguns from. It does the diffusion. So that's fun. One other weapon that this has, speaking on German weapons again, is a, if you look in the lower left of the image, and also on the bottom, you can see a weird beam submachine gun that he has.
It's not a beam gun.
Or, sorry, a regular submachine gun.
It is the MMP-80, that classic little one that they, like,
turned it into
later in the war.
MP-5.
Yeah, they turned, exactly, yes, they turned it into an MP-5, basically. That's good pull, Dylan.
I didn't know that. I just saw that the wiki actually mentioned that.
Oh, damn. I was like,
I don't know.
I was like, wow, I'm impressed. You know that foregrip style.
No, not at all. Very weird foregrip. That's actually why I assumed it might even be a beam gun, because it has a foregrip that's like a weird little cylinder. It's a very strange looking gun. I like that it has textured grip also.
For some reason. We can get you a chance for bonus points. What does the K stand for?
No clue.
Kurz. It's for short.
Mm.
Or Kurz, excuse me. I added a T. My bad.
Now for the nightmare one, Girazulu Elec Custom, if you play GBO2, this thing's annoying.
I've never fought one of these in GBO2.
Oh, okay. Well, it's primary, so it uses a beam machine gun compact, which is, well, compact beam machine gun. It resembles a Tech 9, which is really weird.
Why did they do this?
You can see it there, right? Like in the little mechanical archive at the bottom.
Oh, wait, I have one of these things. I've never flown it.
Well, the thing that makes it really annoying is it has the beam naginata. It uses the Gelgoog's beam naginata. However, it is a stronger version of it, and it has a charge-up melee that does an annoying spin to win blender.
Oh, sure. It's a real Red Rider. Gotcha.
Yeah. The design is mostly the same as the Guards type. The main difference is the backpack design is different, and the head horn is different. The horn is like a weird double horn. And then the backpack is like, you've got four thrusters on top, right? Like that are, and they're like two little sub ones on the diagonal, on the bottom diagonals, which is weird. Then it's got a tank on the bottom, and then it's got like a little, connector to attach the naginata and the tech nine with its giant silencer, its beam silencer that it looks like it has. It's just like a weird modified version of the backpack. It does have like some sensors also located in the middle. You can see the like little camera and stuff. Also at one point it uses the Dryson's giant bazooka as well. But yeah,
it's It's interesting here, because, okay, so they say this is supposed to be a Tech 9, and I don't think they're wrong, right? I do think it is supposed to be, like, a Tech 9.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at, like, that barrel specifically, you mentioned yourself, the, like, the integrated suppressor. And I think that could, once again, be a callback to an MP5 variant. This could be the MP5 SD here. But the style actually looks more like, I can't find, unfortunately, because... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's really weird just looking at it now, like looking at... So, noticing what it says here in the Mechanical Archive, too. Even though the wiki mentions it resembles a Tech 9, which it does. Look at the... You see the little blue blue highlighted parts? I think the idea is this is a mishmash of all the different... guns that the Gira Zulu can use.
Well, all the guns seem like they all are based on the MMP-80 receiver, it looks like, mm-hmm. taken in different directions and occasionally turned into a beam weapon somehow. But like that's what they're highlighting is like, look, this is all based on that core central receiver for. So the problem I'm running into is what it really reminds me of is an M4 with an internal suppressor. The problem with finding stuff for the M4 is I'm thinking of the older style, and there are more M4 variants than there are types of car in the fucking world. And it's hard to find the right one, so I'm just finding ones with, like, rails and shit all over. But you look at the end of the barrel, you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Imagine if it looked like that for the whole length.
Mm-hmm. Also, should note, actually, and I only noticed this because of the Mechanical Archive, specifically the antenna is designed in a very similar way to the Yagdoga Gunae's antenna. Like, that kind of double antenna. I only noticed that in the little Mechanical Art down there. Yeah. Yeah, try this out next time you play GBO2. It's a bastard. Alright, for another, variant of the Gira Zulu, we have the aquatic variant, the AMS-129M Z Zulu. This one's the one this is the one I really like, actually. So...
It's a really fun aquatic version.
So, the Z Zulu, you have the same head, for the most part, other than you lose the teeth around the eyes, funnily enough. Like, it doesn't have as sharp a points on the bottom of the eye. And also, the gas mask, instead of folding back into the head, folds down, the pipes go down into the chest.
I've decided that the teeth, in their testing, like, collected seaweed. So, like, we have to get rid of these.
The collar around the head is basically, a floaty, wrapped around the head. It's got, like, a big, I mean, it's metal, but it looks like an inflatable, like, you know... It's supposed to look like a flotation device.
Right,
And the chest also, you can see the normal Gira Zulu, Gira Zulu chest underneath. But it's got, like, some extra parts bolted to the front to also continue that flotation device look. It's got this little white offset circle in the middle of the chest there. I don't know what that is. And a little white dot in the middle, on the bottom. In front of the, like, belt area, too, where the tubes normally connect into the skirt, you've just got this big tank. I don't know if that's for ballast or what.
I mean, it's for aesthetic, for making it look like a diver, but yeah, I hear you. I know what you mean. Yeah.
The shoulders have been stripped of most of their armor, and they just have, like, a little base plate protecting the joint. Otherwise, you just have the, you know... the ball connecting into the torso.
This is incredibly funny to me. Mm-hmm. The like technology and combat characteristics section on the wiki explains that, so once you get on land, you just purge all the aquatic equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still better than the Gira Zulu.
Yeah.
Which is very funny.
Fun detail, I like in GBO2 that when you play this on maps without water, it does in fact not keep the little... It only has the flippers and the tank and stuff if you're on a...
Oh, that's so cute.
Mm-hmm, if you're on a map that's aquatic. But if you're on a map that doesn't have any water, it just automatically has that stuff purged, which I just think is a fun detail.
Listen, I talk a lot of shit about the netcode and also the, like, map design of that game. But the people who, like, build the suits out and stuff are fucking killing it.
Mm-hmm. The arms are pretty much the same up until you get to the forearms, where each forearm has basically a large... I guess you could think of it as a combination of a shield and a set of three claws on either side.
Let's go, Bob.
Yeah, very large claws, like basically, you know, big Zagok nails on either side.
Do they heat up, or no, they're just
iron? They're just iron nails. Yeah, they don't heat. Huh. To be fair, probably because they're used underwater. It's not like the Zagoks.
Oh, no, they do. They do heat. They're iron nails, but unlike older heat weapons, only the cutting edge of the blade and not the entire blade is heated to red hot during use.
Okay. I knew the knives were heat knives, but I didn't know the... okay, cool. Because the knives sometimes, if I remember right, do show... sometimes are like shown as having like a little bit of red on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
But... Oh, no, you can see the red when it's fighting the beer lint also, actually, in the anime gallery down there.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that looks really good, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because it's got, like, the little... It's just doing, like, the color distortion around the tips of the blades.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the whole blade becoming red. That's pretty cool. But, yeah, moving on to the waist, though. The skirt design is overall the same. Yeah, even the rear skirt. The leg design is similar. It does remove the thrusters from the sides of the thighs, which makes sense for what this is doing. And the feet are... Everything is basically the same other than the feet at the front have an extra attachment, which is a pair of flippers. Yeah. Finally, the backpack is an entirely new design. It has basically two large water jets that are pointing down. I should have noted on the rear skirt, you also have a two big sheets for the knives, the heat knives. But yeah, so you've got these two big water jets on the back, one on like either side of like the backpack, and the base of the backpack is just a big square. One other thing of note that is noticeable, you'll notice a big, what almost looks like a guitar case, hanging off the side. That's so that the, beam machine gun that it uses on land doesn't get wet. It's just a big waterproof container, for when it drops off on land.
That's so cute.
Which is pretty cool. It kind of makes sense. Yeah. Especially because it's, like, a version that has a, the version with the, grenade launcher, so you don't want to get that all wet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I bet that's cheaper than waterproofing the whole fucking gun.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Plus, I mean, hell, you probably use it for other things, too, given the size of it.
Shove a person in there.
God, just time be still, but it's just them going through water in one of those containers, floating on the top.
Like, Z-Zulu just, like, zips past the Gundam, and the Gundam's like, I don't understand. He just drove past me. And then we get a replay and a slow-mo and the container opens up and a bunch of divers pour out.
For some reason, they're, even though this is in this era, they're all like wearing Akahana's wetsuit. But yeah. So kind of already mentioned basically all the things it can use. It has the iron nails, which are, you know, the three blades. It has the heat knives. One of the cool things I like about the way it wields the heat knives is specifically it wields them, and this comes up sometimes in games, where they almost act like the thumbs of, like, if this was, like, you know, a set of claws.
Oh, that is, I didn't...
Because, like, it's holding them reverse grip.
Because it's from the novel version, and so I thought they just portrayed the claws differently, but no, that's really cute.
Yeah, that's just the way it wields the knives, is it holds them backwards so that it resembles... Terrific. It resembles having, like, you know, big claw hands, which is really goofy, but really cool. I love the way it looks on the cover, because they even have it doing a Zagok pose on the cover here, basically. Mm-hmm. Very goofy, but it's a fun one. You can also see in the gallery if you want to see what it looks like purged. I mean, it loses the water jets on the backpack, it loses the flippers, and it loses the little tank on the front. In GBO2, it does keep the backpack, but that's because, you know, they always want to have a way of showing, like, you know, you boosting and thrusting forward. So, They just work on land, it's fine, don't worry about it. But yeah, no, the Z-Zulu is actually probably, like, in terms of, like, minor variants, my favorite one. I technically like another one that we're going to talk about a little bit more, but it's not, this is still like a mass produced machine. And like, mm-hmm. you know, like a lot of cool mass produced aquatic suits, it's just cool.
Yeah. Really also, neat. Shout outs to not using German for once.
Yeah.
Z is Dutch for C.
Okay. Don't forget the Dutch for anything either, though. Now, did we talk about the Krake Zulu in the past? I know we've
talked about the Rosen, not the Krake.
Okay. And we, yeah, because we had talked about, okay. Okay. Just making sure. So we've talked about all the suits related to this, but this one, probably because it's a spoiler one. Well, mm-hmm. no, and also we did the Rosen a long time ago, I think, so it may have been when we did Listless.
I don't remember under what context we did the Rosen. Let me see if I can figure that out. That shouldn't be hard.
Yeah, hold on.
Frozen Teardrop is fucking me up when I search Rosen on this list. Ugh, annoying. On the Hamma, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Alright, yeah, the Hamma episode, here we go. And let me, like, see what all we covered here. Rosen Zulu. Mass production. Okay. Okay, just making sure. So we didn't talk about the Krake. Just wanted to make sure. Alright, the Krake Zulu. The Krake Zulu is a fucking weirdo that I really love. It is essentially turning... It is making a Saikomu test-type high-mobility Zaku, but out of a Gira Zulu. So... Mm-hmm.
Now we know what our friend Peche Montagna is going to pilot when we finally get to Unicorn Timeline.
God. So
I'm not joking. I think that's probably going to happen.
That'd be really cool is the thing, because this machine fucking rules. So what this machine has going on is very weird. The upper torso is pretty similar to the Gira Zulu, right? Yeah. You've got the same head, you've got the same torso, etc. The main thing, well, actually, I do want to check one thing. I say we have the same torso. Does it have the same collar? I think the collar on the round the back is a bit popped up. And it's got the, yeah, and it's got that little bits of, the little bits of pink armor. So basically, the collar is raised and the head is a little bit, like, more tilted because of this, because, like, the neck area is raised. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the main differences. The torso is otherwise the same. The arms themselves are the same, but the shoulders, what we have here are two giant shoulder armors that are shoulders, attached to more arms. Mm-hmm. So it's got two giant arms that end in, these big mega beam cannons, that are basically the shield from the Rosen Zulu, but as just whole ass arms.
And they're wire, then they're incom, right?
Yeah, they're incoms. Yeah, they are wire getting. Which, to be fair, I think the Rosen Zulu is also, well, no, because the Rosen Zulu holds it on the hand, right? Which is wired. These are just on their own and wired. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's got two of those. Each one has two mega beam cannons. They are wire guided. Says that they have two mega beam cannons. That is not quite. I mean, I guess equipped with two. Oh, okay.
It's talking about it has one on each.
So it has one two. On each side. I was gonna say, because here's the thing, that's underselling them, because uh-huh. all of those little barrels can fire. Because as we've seen with the Rosen Zulu, when it fires these, it does the fucking weird. It's doing like a continuous beam, but is able to like rotate while doing so, and it's a spread beam out of each one. It's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got two of those, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, so giant arms. The other difference is when we get to the skirt just keeps going down. Basically sure covers does. Basically covers what would be the entire upper thigh, or the entire thigh of the unit. Has some added vents on the front skirts. The middle crotch piece has an extra, like, landing arm, on it, basically. And the rear skirt is wider and has some extra, I believe those are extra thrusters also, located on the skirt. Yeah, because it's using the rifle with the banana clips, so those aren't extra clips. Yeah, that has to be, just extra thrusters. So, then moving on to the lower leg, the lower legs are just the lower legs from the, Saikomu, test type high mobility Zaku. It is the, you know, the arrangement of essentially four rockets, and in between the rockets you have these little legs on the front, back, and outer part, so that it can, like, stand, question mark, is maybe how I would word that. Doesn't have ones in the middle, which makes it more akin to, like, modern depictions, because they realized, oh, it's cooler if these legs can move separately. Whereas if you look at, like, the old art of the Saikomu Zaku, it definitely cannot move the legs separate, because even though there's a gap, they're all connected. Though I will say, mm-hmm. the robot spirits that I have of this does let you separate. It lets you remove the middle legs. Yeah, and then the backpack is basically a larger version of the guards type backpack, and it only has thrusters on the up and down rather than on the sides. Still has, like, the two propellant tanks at the base, just removes the sensors and adds bigger thrusters on the top and bottom. Yeah, so this is, like, a weird sort of Saikomu Gearzulu.
I mean, it is, yeah, I guess quasi, right? It has the quasi thing, which is just such a cop-out, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it uses wired weapons in the era that it's in, so it makes sense.
I know, the way Unicorn wants to put new types on this pedestal, and part of the way it does that is be like, oh no, these functions, we've got tech so that anyone can do them. That's not what makes new types special. And it's like, I know that. I never thought that was what made new types special. The fact that you think this is something you have to address indicates the problem.
I do like that it mentions it has balance issues that affect its mobility.
Yeah.
I could see that. But it's also very armed, and I mean, you know, by that I mean it has... It can still use, like, normal armaments, which is pretty cool. I like that. Like, it can still use the beam machine gun or theoretically other things.
I always love it when a mobile suit has, like, big arms and then just has its normal arms beneath them. That's just the best shit. It's like, really cool. I also think the Rosenzulu is very cool. I like this better than the Rosenzulu.
Mm-hmm. This also has optional large propellant tanks, which if you look at them, they're the ones that are normally attached to the Kshatriya. Only the Kshatriya is huge for the Kshatriya repair, right? This mm-hmm. is a normal-sized mobile suit, so it just makes you really see how big those propellant tanks on the Kshatriya are.
Yeah.
And it's just, I guess that's just for if you really need to make it go real far out.
Sure.
Because it would extend its, enhance its speed and mobility and extend its endurance and operation time.
I was thinking of that first mission in an Armored Core 4 where they attach you with, like, the boost pack to get you into the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
That shit's so cool.
It is. Yeah. With that, I think we've actually talked about all the Zulus now, though.
I think that's correct.
Yeah. Well, okay. Cool. Fancy machine. Not as many unique ones as you would think, all things considered, just because, like I said, they kind of just made the base one be able to equip a billion things, and then same with the guards type, you know?
Yeah, and we haven't had that much, like, playing with these designs, right? I mean, I guess we've had, you know... They're in the Elite Customs from Narrative, but...
Yeah. That's the thing. It's just not been in that much. Mm-hmm. Alright, well, with that... Sorry, minor interesting thing I just noticed real quick before we wrap up, actually. When looking at the attachments for the base Gearzulu rifle, for whatever reason, it can actually use two different ammo sticks. It can either use the normal ones or the leftover ones from the Gira Doga rifle, I guess.
Oh, interesting. But, like, that's suboptimal because it doesn't... Because the angle of it conflicts with the grenade launcher. That's funny.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
They're like, I mean, hey, if you're not using grenade launcher, use up these surplus e-packs we have. But otherwise...
Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay.
I like that.
I do like those, like, the detail of them needing the leftovers, even if, again, it's funny because even though they want to depict this as being leftovers, it also just feels like these are better than everything the Federation does.
I mean, it feels like there is a degree of, like, what they want to do, and I don't think they fully succeed, right? I think part of what they're trying to do is be like, oh, but they don't have, like, they, like, just numbers wise, they don't have as many, and so they spend more time customizing the ones they have.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, it still does come across as just like, well, it feels like these guys should just win everything. Their suits are so sick.
Mm-hmm. One other minor note, I guess, on the Gura Zulu, just to mention it. Can equip a set of six, up to six magazines on the front skirt.
Hey, there you go.
Just in case you need more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And now with that, I assume we're wrapping up. So, six. Where people find online you.
You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SIXDETTMAR. You can also find me on Co-host at that address. My DMs are open. Any questions, comments, listener requests, that sort of thing. Feel free to, you know, request another mobile suit or to ask us something, and we'll talk about it on the show. And then you can find my work at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. What about you, Dylan?
You can find me at LowPolyRobot on Twitter.com as well as on Co-host. I haven't been doing too much lately other than, what have I been doing? Mostly playing 3DS games. I was for a while. Just haven't been doing any. I finished up my seasonal work, and so it's like that thing of like, okay, well, what do I do with my time now? Now I have a little bit more time for a little while. Mostly I've been sleeping. But yeah. All right. Well, with that, got your
whatever. You've desecrated the captain's podcast.
I've ruined your perfect battlefield.
Angelo shouting at a bad guest.
God.
Fulfonto's like, Angelo, please. Oh. I invited him here.
Oh fuck, very last minute note. The the large beam machine gun it's talking about is just the fucking Gelgu Jaeger one, because I found this armament listing on one of those many pages, finally. And you can see it's just the Gelgu Jaeger one at the second from the top. Okay. So that's the large beam machine gun it was talking about.
It also has a Zaku machine gun on there?
If you look at the picture of it in the Grand Sierras, it is on the, like, a little subarm on the right for it to grab.
Okay, fair enough. It's just, the Grand Sierras just has a bunch of shit that was left over in the hangar.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, it uses this, it also uses the Skiray's cannon.
I mean, here's the thing. If you were to take a gun right now from the 1800s, it still shoots bullets.
You know what? Yeah, no, you hit me with that. I'm fucking dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Please don't do that to me. All right. Peace.
Peace.